Our scripture today, if you've been around the church for very long, is one of those that is surely familiar to you, and yet it works like all these gospel stories. Once you start rummaging around in it, you realize, oh, I've never seen this before. I've never seen that before. I think that's what the Lord wants to show us today. I'll be reading in Luke 5, beginning at the first verse. Let's pray together before we read. Lord, it's your word. You're the one who provided it. You're the one who brings it home into our hearts. We trust you to do so in a loving and wise way, as you've done so many times. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke 5, beginning at verse 1. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their nets to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I'm not sure where they got the name, but they called this endeavor Fish and Fools. And for some years, the men's group would go every spring over to Virginia Beach on a Saturday morning and go fishing, Fish and Fools. I got to go with them once, and I'd heard them say, "We don't really care whether we catch any fish or not. We just like to be together with the guys and have a line in the water." And it was true. I discovered that was true. We hardly caught anything. But we had a big time. And actually, the closest we came to fish was on the way home. We stopped at a seafood restaurant and had a feast. So the Fish and Fools had a big time, even if they didn't catch any fish, which was absolutely not true for Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were not happy. They had empty nets, and they were professional fishermen. And they've been all night fishing. Something about that part of the Sea of Galilee, they had discovered it was best to fish at night, so they'd been out there all night. They had nothing to show for it. And they knew what they were doing. And they still came home empty-handed. So there they were on the shore, cleaning their nets and bemoaning their bad luck, and along comes Jesus with this whole crowd of people in tow. And this was still early in Jesus' ministry, but already the people were discovering that this man teaches like no one else ever. And they wanted to hear him. And then he would demonstrate the healing power of the kingdom of God. He'd touch people and they would recover. And of course, that drew a crowd by itself. He was amazing, and they were amazed, and all of that was good, except it created some problems with logistics, because it's just hard to teach people when they're pressing in on you. It gets to feeling like a mob, and that's how it was with Jesus. So he decided that he would use a boat, one of these fishing boats, to create a little space from the crowd and some order in which he could address them. So he got in Peter's boat and put out a little bit from the shore, and then the water itself served to amplify his voice as he spoke. They could hear him. And even after a night of fruitless fishing, Peter was okay with this. He was okay with Jesus used in his boat. And if you look up the page a bit, you can see why. Peter had been taken himself by the teaching of Jesus. And Jesus had stopped by Peter's house and had healed his mother-in-law on the spot. So Peter was proud to have Jesus using his boat that day to teach. And listening to Jesus teach that day just about made Peter forget about the night of fruitless toil. But then when Jesus was finished, he said, "Peter, I want you to take your boat and put back out where it's deep and let down your nets." Now we read this often with the eyes of familiarity because we've read this story before. But let me remind you some of the dynamics here. This is a carpenter named Jesus talking to a professional fisherman named Peter. And Peter knows what works. He and his buddies have spent all night out there fishing where they usually catch fish at night. And along comes this carpenter. I mean, Peter liked him. He had a lot of good things to say, but he's a carpenter for crying out loud. What's he know about fishing? And he tells him to put out in broad daylight, which was not very promising. Plus, Peter's tired. Plus, it just seemed undignified to be taking fishing advice from a carpenter. But Peter's pretty amazed by Jesus and what Jesus had to say. And so his response was, "Master, we already fished all night and caught nothing, but if you say so, I'll do it." Now let's talk a little bit about empty nets. We know about empty nets. And I'm not just talking about the fishing fools and their empty coolers coming home. I'm talking about how Jesus called Peter and company no longer to fish for fish, but to fish for people. And he's given us that same calling. When you're called to follow Jesus, you're called to join the troop of folks that he has sent out to fish for people. Evangelism, we call it. And it's the highest part of our calling. We get to be used by God to introduce people to Jesus. That's the best. We get to share the evangel. That's what the word good news was in that Greek language of the New Testament. The evangel. Evangelism. We share the good news of Jesus with those who don't know it. That sounds good. It sounds easy. What do we naturally do when we're excited about something and when we've heard good news? We tell folks. I mean, it's like falling off a log. It's what we do. We're excited. We tell folks about good news that we've heard. And if it's the best of all good news that affects the world for eternity, well, how good is that? Of course we'd want to share it, right? So what's this awkward business of empty nets? I'm talking first and foremost about myself. If Jesus calls us to be fishers of people, then as a pastor, with all these years of graduate school theological training, you know, I'm something akin to a professional fisher. I've been taught. I'm supposed to know what I'm doing. And actually, having hung around you, this is the best taught congregation I've ever had the privilege of serving. You're well-taught disciples. You know what to do. But look at our nets. They range from downright sparse to totally empty. I was made painfully aware of this when we came into our new denomination, the ECO, and I heard that one of the goals of the ECO, by the year 2018, we want to be baptizing more than we bury. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Let's baptize more than we bury by 2018. So this week, I counted up. I've been here nearly 9 years, and in my 9 years here, I've baptized 12 children and 3 teenagers and 5 adults. That's 20. You know how many I've buried? 43. And I don't do all the funerals around here. So at this point, we're burying more than twice as many as we baptize. Now the net's not empty, but it's sparse. I'm the pastor here. Maybe that makes me the lead fisherman. I don't know. But I know I'm not alone in the boat. And I know I'm not alone in wanting full nets. We want to bring people to Jesus. You know, I have to assume that Peter and company were like fishermen that I know, that when they come home with empty coolers, they always have reasons why that's so. It may not have anything to do with the truth, but the reasons suffice to, you know, kind of dull the pain a little bit. And so we say things like, well, the fish aren't biting. And we say that of ourselves with reaching out to people in the name of Jesus. We say, the fish aren't biting these days. And it's true. Here in the United States, in the last 20 years or so, people have become less and less interested in the church. I mean, used to, when someone moved into the neighborhood, you could assume that they're going to be looking for which church they should be part of. And actually, it's the opposite now. It's more likely that they have no interest in any church in the neighborhood. Now, some will, but more do not. And a good many of our partners in this culture are not just indifferent to the church, they're a bit hostile and suspicious to the church. Now, some are interested in Jesus, but they typically bring in an expectation that it's kind of up to me to fashion the kind of Jesus I want that suit my tastes. And so we live in an era when it's true to say that the fish just aren't biting much, not from their own native hunger. Sometimes fishermen tell all the things they've tried that didn't work. Tried shrimp, didn't get a nibble. Tried cut bait, didn't get a bite. Tried lures, there was nothing. Nothing worked. And we run through our litany too. All the things we try. Various approaches to sharing the good news. We've tried this, we've tried that. And we share it with some frustration. Trying to explain why we've come up empty. And we don't know what to do. So we quit. We just quit, basically. I mean, I won't ask for a show of hands when the last time was you actively thought through, how can I be used by God to evangelize? And what steps should I take? I'd be willing to bet it's years for most of us here since we've had that kind of intention. Because we've tried this and that, and finally we put down the pole and walk away. Or we say, let's leave it to the pros. Let's leave it to Keith and to Sarah Marsh. They're professionals at this. They've got training. Or we tell ourselves what the fish and fools like to tell themselves, that it really didn't matter whether we catch anything or not. We just like fishing. And the spiritual version of that is, we're not called to be successful, just faithful. Well, there's some truth to that. Not always do we have full nets. But it actually does matter whether we catch anything. It matters to Jesus. It matters because people are going to hell. And they're living like hell in the meantime. It matters. And so we want to be used by God. And not give up. And not walk away. And here's what Jesus says. He says, I know you've tried. Don't give up. And don't feel guilty. I have zero interest in you feeling guilty. What I'm interested in is you putting back out into the water and letting down your nets. So, I'm suspecting that some of you have been discouraged like I have by having these sparse kinds of results, empty nets. Jesus is not discouraged. Neither is he stymied by this. His word is very simple. I know you've tried. I know you've labored. Now put back out and let down the nets. You know what Peter did? Even though Peter knew a lot, and he'd worked hard and he'd come up empty, he did what Jesus said. Jesus was the master. He said, Master, if you say so, I'll do it. Which is exactly what he's saying to us this morning. Is that enough for you? Is it enough that the master says to you, put back out, and let down the net. Well, if it is, let me give you a couple of tips about fishing for people. For one thing, fishing for people works like fishing for fish. You got to go where they are, not where they aren't. Duh. You know, we've got some guests here from Minnesota, and I know our resident Texas Aggie is here. So let me tell you a story about a Texas Aggie who moved up to Minnesota. This Aggie had heard that up in Minnesota, people actually go ice fishing. I mean, that's craziness, but they do it. They go out and they saw a hole in the ice and stand out there where it's cold and drop a line in the water and fish. And he was excited about that possibility, so he got a saw and a fishing pole and hit it off and found some ice. And he cut a hole in the ice and dropped his line. And no sooner had he dropped his line in the water than he heard this voice from above that said, "You're not going to find any fish there." He didn't know what to make of this, but it spooked him a little bit, and he decided he'd move on down the ice, and he cut another hole and dropped the line in. And again, the voice from above came. He said, "You're not going to find any fish there either." Well, this was a persistent Aggie. And so he didn't leave. He just went farther down the ice and cut yet another hole. And the voice came again, this time louder. "There are no fish there." And so he looked up and he said, "Is that you, God?" And the voice answered, "No, you idiot, it's not God, it's me, the ice rink manager." So, you know, if you're going to catch fish, you got to go where the fish are. If you're going to lead anyone to Jesus who doesn't already know Jesus, where am I going with this? You got to hang out with people who don't know Jesus. And most of us use all of our available time to hang out with other Christians. And we need Christian fellowship. Please don't abandon Christian fellowship. We falter in the faith without some partners in the faith to hang out with. But if you're going to lead anyone to know Jesus, you've got to hang out with them. You've got to have some non-Christian friends. Now, how do you do that? Let me state the obvious. Join the bridge club. Join the bowling team. Don't make a Christian bowling team. Just join the bowling team. Make some friends who don't believe in Jesus. Hang out in the break room at the office. Start a book club. Coach the soccer team. And at the end of the season, have a party. Invite all your bleacher bum friends over that you got to hang out with during the soccer season. Have a block party. You're smart. You're creative. Figure it out. Make some friends. Go where the fish are. And once you're there, you know, it makes sense to fish in a way that appeals to the fish, not to you. So, how many of you had worms and crickets for breakfast this morning? You know, you're not going to catch any fish with yogurt and oatmeal. I mean, that's what appeals to us. And so, we think that if we just say to folks who don't believe in Jesus, "Tell you what, I'm having a Bible study. Come on over to my Bible study." A few of them may be responsive, that God's prepared their heart. They may think, "Well, that sounds interesting. I'd like to know about that." But there are a whole bunch who'll look at you like you're crazy. Bible study. I don't get it. What's that about? Why would I? And you have to start farther upstream with those folks. You've got to make friends with them. You hang out with them. You get to know them. Not to sell them something. Just to know them. To bless them. To hear them, to listen to them. That's what folks hunger for. They hunger for friendship. They hunger for someone who will love them, for who they are, not for what they have to sell. That's the starting place. You build those friendships, you build trust, And then when the moment comes that they've trusted you enough so that when mama's going into the hospital for cancer surgery, they tell you, my mom's going into the hospital for cancer surgery. And you've got a friendship and you've got a context and you can say to them, I'll pray for you. And they receive it quite naturally. Because you've already begun to proclaim the gospel through friendship and love and building a relationship so that God can bring along the moment. Or it may be that it's your mama who's going for cancer surgery. And you share that vulnerability in your life. You could even say, would you pray for me? Even though you know that they may not believe in prayer. You're just being vulnerable and real with them, and it goes from there. You see where I'm going with this? This is where we are now. This is what the fish are interested in now in our culture. Not so much, which church should I go? I know I'm going to a church. Which church should I go to? It's more, I have no interest in the church. I'm not sure I'm even interested in Jesus. That's where we are. That's where we start. That's how we love people where they are. Now, there's a lot more to learn about this, and as I mentioned during our announcements, we've got a seminar coming in 3 weeks. Look in your bulletin right under the calendar, and it tells about this Friday-Saturday seminar with Alan Dayhoff. If you want to get an interesting book to read in the next 3 weeks or so, get his book, Church in a Blues Bar. This was the guy who was pastoring up in Northern Virginia, realized he didn't know any non-Christians, decided he'd start going to a blues bar one night a week. He likes blues. And he got to know everybody. He'd learn their names. They knew his name. He'd speak to them. Eventually could strike up conversations with them. They were a little wrinkled when they found out he was a pastor. Some of them felt like he had invaded their space and was not being real with them. And yet, it didn't last very long because he had been real with them. He just loved them and heard them and wasn't laying anything on them. And so their relationship continued. And now he has a church that meets in a blues bar, most of the people of which would never set foot in St. Giles. Isn't that interesting? This guy has a lot to teach about how to reach folks who have great opposition to the things of God and the people of God and how to connect with folks. And we have 46 spots because we're the sponsoring church. We have 46 spots with, it's free for us except for the cost of the notebook. So if you want to be in one of those 46, let us know. And I would invite you in taking up the goal of this new body of which we're part, that we baptize more than we bury by 2018. Wouldn't that be cool? Let's wear out the baptismal font. But it's going to take all of us putting back out into the deep and letting down some nets so that the Lord can use us to win hearts for Jesus, just as He used someone to win our heart for Jesus. We get to be that kind of fish and fool. I'm up for that. That sounds fun. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for not turning around and walking away from us. Thank you that you tell us to put back out and put out the nets. Thank you that you have great hope for us, for using us. We take hope in that ourselves. And we pray that we could be a people of good news that's heard. And we pray in the name of the Savior. Amen.